If you have your scriptures this morning, if you would turn to the book of John, John chapter 21. John is located in the New Testament, fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you get the books like Acts or Romans, you've gone too far, come back. John chapter 21. If you do not have a Bible, there's a black pew Bible in every pew. Feel free to take that Bible. Maybe somebody will notice you don't have one and hand it to you. They do that because they love you. Want you to be able to follow in the Word of God. Receive it, and you can find John chapter number 21. It's, I kind of feel like we're arriving at the end of a journey. I don't know if you, for those of you that are visiting with us, know that we have begun the month of April with a plan and an outline and a procedure that we were going to follow, knowing full well that Easter was the third week of April. I believe that to have been the 16th of April. And we did not want to, just as God's people arrive at Easter time and arrive on that grand day of celebration and make it just an interjection. I didn't want it just to be a parenthetical to the program of Plantation Baptist Church. It means more than that. Amen? It does. It's the very foundation of the direction we're headed, for our Savior is alive. And we didn't want that to catch us off guard, but to properly understand all that went about for the day, we began in the garden. And you may remember that we began back there with the fall of man, and we looked at the reason for the need for Calvary, the need and the sin that was brought into the world through Adam. And we're told that death and sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We left the garden and we went to Golgotha, and we went back to Isaiah and the grand prophet there, where the Spirit of God moved upon him, and he wrote on Isaiah chapter 53 about the crucifixion, and some of, if not probably the most powerful words ever put on paper. And you get to that verse number 10, and it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise our Savior." And so we saw how that, and Peter told us later in Acts that the death of Christ was foreordained by God. And yes, wicked hands were used to crucify him, but it was God who bruised him for our sin. And so we watched as they placed him on the cross and crucified him. And then we came to Easter, and we went to Revelation, and the same man who wrote the book we're in today wrote the book of Revelation. And there he is on that stony island of Patmos, left there to die. And he's seated there, and all of a sudden he hears a voice speak to him. And we went to that great chapter and read, and he said he turned around to see who it was, and it was him whose eyes were like a fire, and his feet burned as if they were in a furnace, and a marvelous description of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus tells John there, he says, "I want you to write a letter for me, and it's going to be written to the seven churches. It's going to detail the end times. In that will be the judgment of lost people. In that will be the new city, the new Jerusalem." So I want you to write all that. But John, before you write it, make sure you tell them, "It's me, John. I was he that was dead. I am alive. I am alive forever. And I'm all powerful. I have the keys of death and hell." What a marvelous Easter verse that was. And then we came last week, and I want to finish up last week's message today. And we introduced the message, and the title of the message was A Tale of Two Fires. A Tale of Two Fires. And not a tale that would be untrue or like a fairy tale. These were real events. And we were looking at the life of Peter, and probably the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacted no one greater than it impacted the Apostle Peter. And we began a message of restoration. We began to talk to God's people. And I really do believe that the message of restoration for God's people is needed today. See, if you're here today and you're not born again, you need a message of reconciliation. And praise God, Jesus has made way to reconcile man to God. Amen? Okay, and so if you're here and lost today, the road of reconciliation to God is really paved with the blood of my Savior. And I don't know how long your road is, but it is covered in that blood. And it's precious blood to me. It means the world to me. It's blood that came straight from heaven itself, and it's sinless blood, and it's precious blood. But Jesus died so that man could have peace with God and be reconciled to God, and we understand that. And I understand that. And there was a time as a little boy that I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed to be redeemed. And I remember going to my dad and saying, "Dad, I need to be saved." And he took me upstairs and went into our bedroom, and we got down on our knees. And as a little boy, I knew that I was guilty of sin, and I didn't want to go to hell. And I may not have known a lot, but I knew the Lord Jesus. And I said, "Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart, cleanse me from my sin. The best I know how, I turn from that, and I turn to you, and save me." And you know what? He did just what he said he would do. And he did that for you, if you were saved too, amen? He said he did what he said he'd do. But God's people have shortcomings. And God's people today fall. And yes, I'm redeemed eternally. But God didn't put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible never to be used. And a lot of God's people today are not in the fight. And I want you to understand something. We are in a fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may turn on the television and you may read the paper and you may be able to turn a blind eye to that. But Nate, make no bones about it, my friend. There is a onslaught, a grave, dastardly attempt and a plan to destroy Jesus Christ and his gospel in America. And we need soldiers in the army of the Lord. And so when I was saved, I was placed as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Some of you men have been soldiers. And we love you and we respect you and we heap accolades upon you. But let me tell you something. It's a privilege to serve our country, but it's far grander to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so we need, it's time now in America for God's people to be the church and to have power and authority and not to be cowardly and not to be on the shelf and not to let the past just dwarf us into ineptness so we can't go forward in Jesus' name. And so it's that thought process that brought me to Peter. You remember that the first fire was the fire there in that hall as they were getting ready to crucify the Lord. Peter never dreamed in all of his existence that what took place at that fire would ever happen to him. I wonder if you're in a place like that. I'll bet you there's people seated here today. You never dreamed you could do what you did. You never thought it possible that you could have stooped, that that act would have been done by you. You never dreamed it possible. It haunts you. It rides you. Tears flow up in your eyes, and you would to God you could have one moment back. Never thought it was possible for you to do that. That was Peter. Though everybody leave, I won't leave. Though all of them get killed, I won't go. I'll be right here. That man was with Jesus. I was not. That man was with Jesus. I was not. That man was with Jesus. And you know the story. There was the denial. Never dreamed he would do what he did. The last time Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he denied him. Can you imagine? We walked through this a little bit last week. Peter's thought process, how his mind and how the enemy must have come after him. That enemy told him the same thing he tells you. "You're no good, Peter. He'll never forgive you. You're not a rock, you're a pebble. You thought you were greater than those, you're nothing." Boy, he knew how to come at Peter. And I guarantee you, those were 3 days of living hell for him. And then it's Easter morn, and the angel comes. And so I want you to go tell everybody, and don't forget Peter. My God, how great that is. Don't forget Peter. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was interested in restoring Peter. And my friend, the Lord Jesus is interested in restoring his children. He's not the great judge to us. My sin was judged at Calvary. And when I fall, there's his blood, and his blood is available for me. And he doesn't come at me as a judge. He comes at me as a father, loving his son, desiring his son to come back, longing for that boy. But the enemy's told us, "You can't trust our God. And we've swallowed that to ineptness. You quit the choir. You quit teaching. You quit. Because the enemy said, no more. You can't trust God. I'm here to tell you, He is the only one we can trust. Amen. Now you're waking up. All right, I like this. So we began to watch how the Lord Jesus prayed for Peter before it ever happened. We begin to see that in that judgment hall, when Peter denied him, he got eyeball to eyeball with Christ. I don't know what kind of look he gave him, but I know it broke his heart. And it was a repentant attitude that Peter had. It was a compassionate look that came from the Lord. By the way, nobody now needs to fear the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you go to Revelation chapter 20, and you will find one day that that Lord Jesus will sit on that white throne. And if you face Him there, buddy, you better fear. You better be very afraid, because He will be your judge. And all those times you said, damn Him, and all those times you denied Him, and all those times you said, I don't want anything to do with you, He'll say, I'm the judge. You think about fear, you get there, you'll be afraid. But we don't have to be afraid now, especially as children. He sent a message to Peter. My God, how great a message it was. And then we found that there was even a meeting with Peter. And we're not told about this meeting. We're just told it took place, just like fleeting, just goes right by. And he appeared unto Peter. What do you mean he appeared unto Peter? No, he appeared unto Peter. Well, what happened? Why did he appear? I don't know. But I'll tell you what. The meeting with Peter was so encouraging to Peter that it's evidenced in John chapter 21. It's remarkable. It is remarkable how it's evidenced here in John chapter 21. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but I need to set the stage for you because I want to finish this message of restoration. The title was A Tale of Two Fires. Well, the first fire, there was denial. The second fire, you're going to see restoration. Would you let me set the stage? If you were to go to verse number 1 of chapter 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. Now, what you need to understand in this chapter is it was important for the Lord Jesus to show Himself now. You see, this is the final chapter of the book of John. If you were to look at John chapter 20, it's very interesting. This is very interesting. Look at John chapter 20, and I want to read you verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, this is why the whole book of John was written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, I don't know about you, but I think those are two pretty good verses to end the book. You could have ended the book of John right there. And it would have been great, but the Spirit of God didn't let it happen, and John didn't let it happen. John loved Peter, and John did not want to close his book without the church and without those that come behind understanding, hey, let me tell you what happened to Peter before we go. Why? Because he knew we would need it. You see, Peter is in a fishing boat. Look at verse number 2. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I've been there, done that, and I have the t-shirt. That's usually my fishing trip right there. I fish all night and catch absolutely nothing. Might as well just burn my money. Why? Why appear now? Jesus knows that Peter's considering going back to fishing. Oh, does this ever introduce where we're headed now? Get this. Peter says, I'm broken. And I'm being battled. I'm broken and I'm being battled and I don't know if I want to go on anymore. So I'm going to go do what I know I can do. I'm going back to go fishing. And so Peter says, come on, boys, let's go fishing. Now, Peter's always been the leader. He's always been the aggressive. They followed him. And so they went over here and they began to go fishing. But there was something tender about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did something that, if you study, is remarkable. He didn't let them catch one fish. Why? Why would he not let them catch one single fish? Because the Lord Jesus loved Peter. And the Lord Jesus knew that he had a plan for Peter. And the Lord Jesus knew that he wanted to restore Peter. And he wasn't going to lose Peter. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. Jesus said, I love you, Peter. Go fishing. But out of his mercy, he didn't let him catch any fish. Oh, don't look like you don't understand. Sure, you and I have sinned. You and I have been brokenhearted. You and I have been just snapped. And we look at God and we think, you couldn't take me. I'm going back here. And so we've tried to go this way. And we tried to go this way. And we tried to catch fish. And we can't do it. And we can't do it. And we're running into roadblocks. And we can't do anything. And God the whole time is protecting me. And we don't understand it as protection. But in his mercy and in his love, he didn't let them catch one fish that night. Why? Because he wanted them to catch men. And the reason you're so frustrated right now, when you're trying to run away from the Lord, especially if it's from a broken or hurt position, it's not because God's against you, my friend. It's because he's for you. And he's not going to let you run into that direction without him, because he loves you. And so he's closing those doors and he's doing that. And it's not because he's against you, but he's trying to keep you from going that way because he wants to restore you. They fish all night and they're tired, and they come in the morning and they recognize him in verse number 7. I want you to see this. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter. Now, John says unto Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. That just means he wasn't properly dressed. Don't take that biblical and go fish naked out there. You'll get arrested. All right? He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And my God, he did cast himself into the sea. Peter, that's the Lord. It's my Lord. Throws on his coat, jumps overboard, and begins to swim. Now, I want to go back to an earlier thought. What do you think that little meeting between the Lord Jesus and Peter was like? It so encouraged Peter. It so lifted Peter. It so brought Peter to an understanding of his Lord that he was willing to jump out of that ship and swim to his God. My friend, you don't need to run away from the Lord. You need a meeting with him. Jesus invites him to have fish. He's setting the stage. It's remarkable. Peter goes in verse number 11 and he brings the fish to shore. Jesus saith unto them in verse number 12, come and dine. Well, we love that song. Come and dine, the master calleth. This time the disciples are terrified. None of the disciples, verse number 12, durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. You see, they were used to relating to Jesus as a human. They were used to relating to him as the teacher and the master. The deity of Christ set them back. They didn't know how to really handle themselves. They were afraid. Look at what Jesus does. Now, I'm trying to set the stage of his tenderness here. Then, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. You see, they didn't want anything to do with him, but Jesus knows and he sees them, and Jesus is coming to them, and Jesus is securing them, and Jesus is being the aggressor, and Jesus is setting the stage, and Jesus has a purpose for them. And my friend, listen to me, for especially those who feel like you've been saved and God is against you now, he's for you, and he's setting the stage, and he's coming after you, and he's doing everything he can to receive you. My friend, you must see his heart in this matter. And now you come to Peter, verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Go to verse 16. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? 17. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Three times the Lord Jesus challenges Peter. Three times Peter denied him. Three times the Lord allows him to confess him. It's a challenge of Peter's love. It's a challenge of Peter's heart. You see, there's much about love in the Bible. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're not to love the world. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll be obedient unto me. The Lord Jesus comes and questions Peter's love. It's kind of interesting that he uses his old name. That must have stung Peter a little bit. He didn't call him Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas. The last time Peter heard that name, he heard the Lord Jesus saying to him, thou shalt know, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Now you're going to be called Peter. But here on that seashore, by that fire, that must have meant been in Peter's mind of the fire he was at, the Lord Jesus uses his old name. You say, Pastor, why would he do that? Well, my friend, let me tell you something. There's no healing without confrontation. And the Lord Jesus is coming back to Peter there, and the Lord Jesus is reminding Peter of something. He's reminding Peter of this: no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. Now stay with me, because I'm gonna bless you on this. At the other fire over here, Peter was pinpointed as to who his master was, and he denied him. Over here, he's given another opportunity to pinpoint who his master is by the master, and he chooses the Lord Jesus. And I believe it to be a one-time choice. You go on and you read his epistles, and there is a love there. There's a great love there. And the Lord Jesus is driving home to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's a question of who do you love, Peter? And he's coming after him. And he's saying, it's going to be me or self. It's going to be me that you're going to confess or me you're going to deny. But you can't do both. By the way, it's frustrating to try to do both. Some of God's people are very frustrated today because they try to remain over here in a denial position of the Lord where it's convenient, and then over here, and it's not comfortable there. I want you to see Peter's response here. Look at verse number 15. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, if I was to get real deep, and I don't have time, the words love here, Jesus is using the word agape. Peter says, I love you like a brother. You know thou that I love thee. Look at verse 16. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. 17. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And this time we read these words. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Here you have the words of a broken man. Lord, you know me. You know what I said. You know what I did. You know me better than I know myself. God, you know I love you. I would to God, I would have never done it. It was the confession of a man being weakened so he could be strengthened. Now walk with me. Don't lose me. Peter is naturally strong. He is a natural leader. In his flesh, he has the ability to do great. But there's nothing in the flesh that will please the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. You serve God in the flesh, and you will find very soon it will not be enough. You try to be a husband in your flesh, you won't survive. You try to be a wife according to your flesh, you won't survive. You try to be a father according to your abilities, you won't be a father. You try to be a mother according to your abilities, you won't be a proper mother. You see, Peter thought within himself that he had it within him to love the Lord, and he was going to present himself as the billboard for loving God. And when it came time to it, the flesh was weak. And the Lord Jesus is reminding Peter of that weakness. And he had to break him in his weakness, because when he was brought to his weakness, now God could strengthen him. By the way, isn't that what our Lord's challenging us is all about? Restoration, whom he loveth, he chasteneth. And he came and he challenged him. And the challenge was that old nature, Simon, it's wicked and it's damnable, and there's nothing in it that will satisfy me. Do you love me? Do you love me, Simon? Lord, you know everything about me, and I love you. The Lord Jesus wanted to make sure, and after he challenged him, he commissioned him. I love this. Now look at verse number 15. Thou knowest that I love thee. And the last verse says, he saith unto him, feed my lambs. 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Thou knowest that I love thee. And at the end, Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to skip a whole lot, but I want to get down to the nuts and bolts. The reason, my friends, that you don't have joy with Jesus Christ right now is because we have not allowed God to finish the restoration process in our lives. Now, don't miss this, because Plantation Baptist Church needs this if we're going to do anything for the Lord Jesus. The Lord brought Peter to that place, and he broke him. He broke him with a question of love. Peter finally realized that within his flesh, he could not agape. He could not do that. Now, in the epistles later, when he understands truth, he does use that word, and he does reach that point. But it's something God did. So God brings him here and challenges and then breaks him. And then God does something. God commissions Peter. Now, if you read those words in feeding, he was to be the shepherd. He's no longer going to be a fisherman. Now he's going to be a shepherd. The sheep need food and they need direction. And I boil all this down to say the Lord Jesus restored him not only in person, but in work. Now you say, Pastor, why is that so important? Why? Because the reason that we fall short of enjoying our God is because we don't serve the Lord. The songwriter said, there is joy in serving Jesus. Here's what's happened. You've sinned and you've fallen, and what you thought you could never do, you've done. Okay, you've done it. Well, there's the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus says if you're born again, it'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And there's the opportunity for daily cleansing. And you've come that far, but then the old enemy came and said, yeah, but even if he rises from the dead, he won't know who you are. You're no good. Oh, he remembers what you did. He can't put trust in you. And so we get that cleansing from our sin, but we never allow God to commission us back to work. So it goes like this. I used to sing in the choir, and I don't do it anymore. And I used to teach in Sunday school, and I don't do it anymore. And I used to be in the nursery, and I don't do it anymore. And I used to help, and I don't do it anymore. And I go back to this fact that, well, I sinned against God, and I've got cleansing from that. But my friend, let him restore you to work, and you'll receive the joy in serving Jesus Christ. Okay? So we only go halfway. We're prepared, but we don't go any further. And so, yeah, that I'm clean. But it's the fact that I can take the word and I can be serving my King that brings joy to my heart. When he told Peter, you're going to be the shepherd of my flock, he was reinstating him to a position of service. God's people need that, amen. We do need that. Boy, that's powerful. I'm going to sit down and amen myself. That was powerful. Most of that I even got on my own. I didn't even take that from somebody. Now, you think Peter's happy at this point in time? I'll bet he's thrilled out of his gourd. Now I want to show you something, because you can't leave this passage without this verse. You got to go to verse 18. If you give me another 7 or 8 minutes, I'll be done. God, the Lord Jesus challenges him, and the Lord Jesus, he commissions him. He gives him back his ministry. He's not finished with him. And then he gives him a charge. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Now stay with me in the language. It'll be real simple when I get to the end. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You say, well, preacher, what's he saying there? He's saying something about when Peter was young and when he was old, and he did what he wanted to do when he was young, and when he's old, he's not going to be able to. John, in verse number 19, says, hey, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Understand this, they crucified Peter. This is remarkable. Now get this. He denies the Lord Jesus at Jesus' crucifixion, but Jesus so restores him that later in his life, they take Peter and they get ready to crucify him. I don't know if you know the story or not, but they don't crucify him like the Lord Jesus. He has them flip him upside down, and they crucify him with his feet at his head and his legs up and his arms stretched, because he did not feel worthy to die like the master did. That's how Peter dies for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus goes and he tells him, he says, you're going to die, and you're going to die for my glory. Now let me tell you something. Peter never dreamed, he could ever bring glory to God again. Don't miss that. God, don't miss that. There are some of you, and you're divorced. Oh, God. And you've committed a crime. Oh, God. And you've done something terrible. My friend, we are all guilty of sin. And the enemy says, you could never bring glory to God. Jesus said, yes, you can. And I'll fill you with my spirit. I'll redeem you. I'll restore you. I'll give you legs to walk on and arms to serve me. And at the end, I'll get glory through your life. And that's what I want him to do, get glory through my life. Peter never dreamed it. Now, my God, 5 weeks and I finally get to my point. That's why we celebrate Easter. Our Lord is alive. And he loves us. And the blood that redeemed me on Calvary's cross is the blood that keeps me. And the blood that washed my sin there in total is the blood that cleanses me when I fall. And the grace that saved me there is the grace that keeps me there. And the songwriter said, that blood that was powerful then shall never lose its power. Now you come to verse number 19. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me, Peter. Follow me. What's he mean by that? The word, study it. It's a union word. It's a likeness word. It means two going in the same way. See, most of us, we look at following the Lord Jesus like Peter did before Pentecost. We're trying to keep up. Oh, it's so hard. And then we try to do everything in our flesh, and we're frustrated. Jesus said, don't do that. Join me. Unite with me. Submit to me. Let me have you, and I'll carry you. You follow me. Now, church, he saw us in the garden. He bought us at Calvary. He saved us at the tomb, and he restores me when I fall. That's the kind of God I want to follow. How about you? Say, Pastor, I'm brokenhearted today. I'm disappointed with myself. Kind of just wandering. I've denied the Lord, and everything you've said today is true about my life. Well, if everything I've said today is true about your life, then everything I've said today is true about your restoration. Come and dine. Come to the Lord Jesus, child of the King. Stop listening to what Satan says. Confess your sin. Be cleansed from that. Be restored back to serving God. Follow Him. That's Easter. I'm ready to have lunch. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If I could say anything to you today, Christian, I want you to know this. The Lord Jesus is not just necessarily waiting on you to come to Him. He's after you. He's after you. He loves you. He wants you to be restored. I would to God you would have a little meeting like Peter did with Him. Just right there in the quietness of your seat. I don't know what that meeting took place, but I guarantee you there was some confession and some tears. Maybe you need just to have a moment there with your God and say, Heavenly Father, I've sinned. I want to be cleansed. I want to be restored. And I submit my life to whatever you want me to do. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved today. You don't need to be restored. You need to be reconciled. You need to be brought to God. You've never been to Him. Jesus will cleanse you from your sin, wash you, redeem you, create you new. Heavenly Father, God, this is not Tom Hunter's church. This is not the deacon's church. It's not the people's church. It's the church of our Lord. He said, I will build my church. And the church is not building, God, it's people. John said, I could close the book right here, but I got to tell you what Jesus did for Peter. And that's what He wants to do for His own today. I know the message is needed. We've all fallen short. God, there's cleansing there. God, there's some here today, they need to be saved. They've never been born again. God, they need different right now. I pray, God, we've been clear on that. But I want You to have Your way in this invitation, God. There's men and women that need to do business with You. And I pray You give them courage, that they have hope in their Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.